Preparation for the lesson, listening to rare excerpts from lessons of the Kabbalist Baruch Shalom Ashlag with commentaries of his student and disciple, his follower and disciple, Rav Lightman. We should start with Avyut Shoresh, coarseness root. When we kiss the tzitzit, is it for heaven's sake? Meaning? We'll talk about it some other time. It needs an explanation. It is not that easy as we think. I just want to give you an example. Oh, if you want something like that. You like kissing it, don't you? There are lots of tales which are told about it. Righteous would have kissed the masorot, the 10th part of the income, etc., etc. Kiss the masorot, pray all day. How do you kiss the tzitzit? Don't you, are you not impressed by it? You're never impressed from kissing the tzitzit. Why is that? I need some sleep. I don't have the words. I don't know Hebrew that well. What does the Lord want from you? To fear Him. All that we learn, all the precepts that we do, this is just a virtue to come to that fear which we are demanded. Our sages are asking, Atira milta zutrahi, meaning fear, is it a small thing or a great thing? So I asked, what is a great thing? Ask a little kid, why are you doing it? Isn't it for heaven's sake? Is it for heaven's sake or not? You remember, I've made an examination once here to this Chaim, the son of Wob. I asked him, you know that we have to do things for heaven's sake? He said, of course. A child of 6 or 8 years old, he also know that we have to do it for heaven's sake. So what did they say, that fear is a great thing? The answer, the Kabbalists, they know what fear is. They said it's a great thing. But the others, they do not know what fear is. They don't know what fear is, so they don't think it's such a great thing. It's a little thing. Every child has fear of heaven. Of course, the public has a great confusion of what is Torah and Mitzvot, Torah and precepts. Once we were in the spiritual world, in the group of Abraham, Ibrahim, and it was clear to us which form of thought and desire we should have, a person should have. Because it was revealed to each and everyone. The Creator was revealed to each and everyone, which gave an example. This upper force dwelled in each and everyone. And each and everyone, out of this revelation of the upper force, in Him, the way the Creator is revealed inside a person, and as a result, naturally, he kept all these actions of bestowal. Which other actions are there? Only actions of bestowal. Both in the corporeal body, both in the soul, the spiritual soul. Also, the corporeal actions were spiritual because they were all in order to bestow. They were all with the same sensation that they are adhered to the Creator, connected to the Creator, they felt the Creator. So, of course, out of that sensation, they did everything. What difference does it make what to do? Either to bathe oneself or to eat, or to do some things in the field, or to go to sleep, or whatever he will do with his body here. It was all done with the sensation of the Creator, so all these actions were also to advance towards that goal, to have a greater adhesion till the end of correction. And this is what people used to do. It was obvious, it was clear to them, it was their nature. It was their natural intention. So they grew. So they lived, and their whole lives were keeping the precepts, meaning actions whose intention is to bestow. All actions. What do we say in Yom Kippur? Eating, drinking, wearing shoes, oiling in bed are forbidden. Do it in order to receive, it will be a felony. You'll do it in order to bestow, it will be a precept. Anything in life, there can be no action, because also our desire is an action. Also the actions that we do, that too is a desire. Also the same actions that we actually wanted to control them, but we don't, because we are in lower degrees in our recognition, like the degrees of steel and vegetate, animate in me, how different parts of me are working and other internal things. But they, as it is written, they are included in the degree of man, and man determines through his general intention all these actions, even if he's not aware of them and doesn't feel them and doesn't make any calculation about them, for he doesn't have to, meaning it is in his subconscious, in his sensation. But this is the way we used to live by, and this is the way we used to exist. The revelation of the Creator simply necessarily obliged each and every one to behave in such a way, everything in life, because that was the force which acted within each and every one, because the Creator is revealed inside man in all his bones. And when he departed, that force departed from us, the situation where we fell into is called exile. And also exile has many situations to it. There is a situation which is called an exile because we feel the exile. We feel that we had something, it is concealed, it shines from afar. These are still the surrounding lights which depart from me. And then in compare, I feel how lesser I am, how much I have lost, how much he had left me. So that degree is still, it's holding a person, it awakens a certain attitude, relation in him, and he determines that, yes, I am in exile. I had something and it departed. And then, compared to what I feel, where that it exists, but it departed from me, but it shines on me from afar, accordingly I feel how much I am in exile now, meaning in the control, in the dominion of the desire for oneself. And I can't do anything, but the will to oneself now controls me. Why do I feel that? Because he who was in me and departed from me, the force of bestowal, shines for me from afar and now shows me how much I'm in the opposite dominion, in the opposite control. And it is clear to me, one versus the other, that I'm in exile. And there is an even worse degree, where I don't feel that I'm in exile. It is so distanced from me that I have completely no feeling that there was something, and that there can be something, that or he will return then. And then, what can I do? I'm simply an animal, I'm simply a beast. And then there is no calculation about a person, no complaint, for there is no judge and no one who judges him. If he doesn't have such a thought and such an emotion that he belongs to someone or something, that he was somewhere and he can bring it back, until the spirit from above awakens him that yes, he now begins to have certain awakening, a relation to come in return. He doesn't quite know to what. Now he has to examine out of his unconscious to awaken in himself some kind of thoughts, desires, perhaps this is this or that, to start searching. And people who are disconnected, there is a possibility to keep all kinds of corporeal or physical actions which are disconnected from what is commanded, from his sensation, from the ability to understand what it means. And they act out of habit, which becomes a second nature out of education from childhood. They're not taught the intention to bring back the dominion of the Creator into themselves, that He will clothe them and control all their bones. And then I bring Him back forcefully against my egoistic desire. I want Him to determine all my actions in mind and heart. So they're not being taught to behave in such a purpose. And then the actions are dry actions. Actions of wise people. They're being taught by people, by humans, and therefore these actions are, as we say, a culture, education, a habit. And that is called religion. Until a desire is awakened in a person to bring back the dominion of the Creator in him, on him. Accordingly, we measure people. Therefore, Kabbalah begins from a point called Lo Lishma, not for her sake. When a person begins to realize that he is under the control of his ego, and this is an undesirable thing. Therefore, it is called Lo Lishma, not for her name. And we need to come to another dominion. There is no other choice. There are only two dominions in the world, either the dominion of the will to receive or the will to bestow. And we have to choose between the two of them. And this is our path. Therefore, our work is only on importance, who will be in control, either the force of bestowal called the Creator or the force of reception called the creature. Both of them are forces from above, both the force of the Creator and the force of the creature, which was created against it by the Creator in an action of the beginning of the creation. So these two forces, they come from above. And a person has to feel himself that he's always in a choice between them in the middle. And he always have in each and every moment the ability to choose who will control him. That's our only free choice. And we call it the middle third of Sfirat of Tiferet, the Nogos shell. Higher than it, this is the force of bestowal. Below it, this is the force of reception. And man has to feel himself forever half guilty, half innocent. That now, in everything that he has, in his thoughts, actions, desire, that he can determine that the force of bestowal is the force that will control him, that it will be more important and it will be in control. And here it all depends on his sensitivity, on his attention, on how much he is in a situation, how much alert he is for it. And a person who examines himself, who criticizes himself, he sees that he's incapable always to be alert for that discernment. He needs someone to control his alertness, his awakening, to always hold him in a state of scrutiny. Then he needs the force, the power of the group. He wants the group to influence him in such a way that he will always be awakened to keep choosing the force of bestowal, to want it to control him. Because after a few such scrutinies, such discernments, it will happen. And the force of bestowal will be revealed to him, in him, in practice. And that will be called the revelation of the Creator to his creatures. And he who keeps different kinds of signs called the precepts, commandments of educated people, as the Rabbah says about he who kisses the tzitzit, you kiss the schach, the roof of the sukkah, and different other things, different actions that are done, where people think that in the action itself there is some kind of desirable thing in front of the king which will make the Creator clothe in him. They don't think. They weren't taught that this is what it should be. They were taught that to keep it externally, superficially, as a result you will be rewarded, not to come to bestow or the love of others, rather work and profit. And that is called the Torah of the landlords, which is opposite to the opinion of the Torah. But gradually, meaning in steps, cause and consequence, they all advance to the emergence of the Reshimot, which are awakened in us. And a person begins to feel that he is not satisfied, not settled in just keeping the commandments of educated people or wise people. Rather, he wants to reveal godliness nonetheless, and by doing so to reach the degree of Adam, the degree of man. A question from Natanya. Is it right to say that practical commandments, this is the means instead of the goal? Practical commandments, they are called, we call them, all the actions that can bring me to the light that reforms. So we have to understand that the light that reforms shines on a person while he is studying a true, authentical book of Kabbalah and searches inside that book for a force, for help, that it will disclose for him the Creator, which is called the force of bestowal, which will control him.
And this surrounding light that illuminates upon him from the study in the Kabbalistic book only, it illuminates in as much as a person is in concentration and demand that he will get revelation of the Creator. This revelation of the Creator, once again, is the revelation of the force of bestowal and love in man that will be revealed and dominate, control the person. How is a person sure that will control him, bestowal and love? How can he be sure of this? For this, he was given society that he can check, does he truly want this? Maybe he's searching for some other creator. How may a person not run away from this goal during the study? For this, he also needs society to bring him importance in this goal, and that all the other goals are entirely unimportant. How will a person desire to grasp onto this? He needs to receive importance from the guide that tells him, that points to the book, searches along with the person, teaches him how to read from the book, that there he will truly see what the goal is, what he has to attain, in what form, in what manner. Meaning here there is a teacher, the group, the study from the books of Kabbalah in the correct intention that he has arranged it as such, and persistence during many months until he reaches this, that the surrounding light truly becomes revealed as internal, and then it's called that the Creator has been revealed in him. And then from then onwards, the person is found to be in the revealed free choice, revealed to him, that he's always found to be in the ability to build the screen between his will to receive and the will to bestow, so they should be balanced, equalized. And beforehand, he has to believe that he has opportunities in every moment to exist in this balanced manner. Moshe from Mexico is asking, when we go to the synagogue and praying during the holidays in intention, are we drawing upon ourselves light that reforms? I think Rabash explained it well enough here. This, that the masses carry out these mitzvot anashim elam adam, meaning actions which were taught to these people by somebody else, yes. Go to the synagogue, the prayer hall, open some book and pray a bit, maybe learn a bit, read some articles of the week, maybe a few sentences from Shulchan Aruch to teach a person how to behave. This is all called traditions and not mitzvot. Mitzvot is called actions on the intention to bestow a contentment to the Creator. If this intention exists, every action he may carry out is called a mitzvah. If he does not have this intention, everything he does would be called a sin. If he carries out some actions and in them he is in sorrow that he is carrying them out for his own sake, and he desires to do them on the intention to bestow, then it's called that he's found to be in a period of preparation, that he's learning, he is against his will found to be in the bad dominance, and he's entirely in the direction, directed towards reaching the corrected state. So then he's called to be in this intermediate state. And these are the states. Now, when we go through the historical development, we are obligated to pass through a period that there we are entirely disconnected. We are entirely disconnected from the demand for the force of bestowal. Because this breaking, this descent, has to be deep in this manner, that we shall entirely not feel that we were ever in the meaning that the force of bestowal was dominating us. We have to reach such a lowly place, and this came out as a result of the destruction of the temple, that we became disconnected from spirituality until the time of the Ari. And for this time, the Kabbalists, they themselves, they directed us to carry out all sorts of actions. That despite that we are entirely disconnected from spirituality and the demand, meaning we don't have Rishimo to demand spirituality with. The person can't demand something from where he doesn't have. Everything is awakening from the desire that we can add all sorts of corrections upon them of our own, additions, exertion. We were in a state that we were still entirely disconnected from spirituality, from the demand for spirituality. Such the Rishimot would truly awaken in us from the degree of the beast, the degree of the animate. And for this period, the Kabbalists have determined for us actions that they are the same actions that to this day religious people carry them out still. Just when this period of exile has ended from the Ari's time, as the Ari himself writes, and those other big Kabbalists after him of the nation, we already need to return to the demand for the revelation of the Creator. Thus a person that he's acting today, he has to ask himself, is there awakening in him a desire for spiritual life or not? If he's entirely in desires that as if he did not exile, that everything's disconnected from him, all the spirituality, and that he has no grasp on this, no question, or that maybe he's decaying this question himself. So if he entirely doesn't have this, then he doesn't feel that he need to awaken himself, then he should leave himself. There is no coercion in spirituality. But if he feels that it is such, that I have a tendency to it, at least a question of at least what is the point of my life that's awakening in him, then he must already exert himself in revelation of spirituality, of the force of love and bestowal. Avi from Jerusalem is asking, is it possible that there are Kabbalists who don't carry out the corporal mitzvot in their hands and feet? I am sure. I'm sure that there are such people. There is no connection between the carrying out of the mitzvot with the hands and legs and the carrying out the mitzvot in the soul, in one's desire. We see that just like it's possible to carry out mitzvot in one's body and one's mouth without any intention. We can do this, these actions with intention, meaning with our desire, that our desire has 613 desires. That if we correct these desires, these 613 desires, these intentions to bestow, which is that if we perform, that it's called 613 mitzvot, then of course we can do them without any activation of the body, the corporal body. Rav Shalom writes to us in the introduction to the book of Zohar, in the article, the 613, 18 and Pkudim. He writes there that the mitzvot of the Torah, are you hearing the words here that he's saying? Mitzvot of the Torah, those that you're asking about, what are they? He says, mitzvot of the Torah are divided into 613, 18 and 613 Pkudin, that these are two stages, 2 degrees. 18, the 613-18 is a preparation of the will to receive, that he should have an intention to bestow, and the 613 Pkudin is that he already works with the will to receive, to receive the light and intention to bestow. In other words, the acquisition of the screen, the correction of the screen, that's called 613-18. These advice, how to acquire the screen and the intention to bestow. And the 613-18 is how to already receive this light in its corrected vessels on the intention to bestow. This is called the mitzvot of the Torah. Against this, there is what we have spoken about, the mitzvot of Hashem Elumandam, the mitzvot of the people, that someone told me that you have to do such and such. What's the difference between the mitzvot that people teach me or the mitzvot of the Torah? The mitzvot of the Torah is taught to me by the Creator. From the study, from the surrounding light that I receive discernment, understanding, force, intention. And then from that, from the light, I learn. That's called the light that reforms, and not some uncle or father who teaches me that I have to carry out some actions with my body. So there is a difference between the mitzvot of the Torah teaches from the light that reforms, or the mitzvot that people teach me to perform. We are not nullifying this corporal action, but it does not correct the soul. It does not bring us to the purpose of creation. These actions, they are not what bring contentment to the Creator, that this must be the purpose of our existence. Yes. Uri from Tel Aviv asks, did Kabbalists not know that the external mitzvot that they determined will cause confusion and distancing from the goal in the end? The confusion and the distancing itself is a correction. There's nothing in our world that's not a correction. We don't look at things properly and everything that's happening around the world. The shell, it guards the fruit. The klipa guards. There's nothing against the Creator. We have to understand how to correctly work with these two opposing forces. There is nothing that must be destroyed. Kabbalists knew about this. And the Nevi'im, the prophets, they knew about it. Look what they wrote about for the final generations. Everything they wrote about was for the time of the Messiah. Look what horrible things they have written. Because from nature's side, with the opposition and the contradiction between the will to receive and the will to bestow, they bring us laws. What are the laws which would obligate my will to receive to accept the force, the control of the bestowal, the force of bestowal? This is what the prophets expressed to us in their prophecies. They brought us the forces of nature, positive and negative. And they brought us the process. We should see in what form and the degree of the still vegetative animate and speaking, the man, this positive bestowing love force would finally dominate the will to receive. If a person will not insert himself in the middle and not sweeten this, then what they've written there, these horrible things, this will have to occur as the assisting force for man, as the shell which assists the sanctity and brings a person closer to sanctity, but in the form as it operates in a manner which is very sharp. A student from campus says, okay, I'm still not in spirituality, so is it worthwhile carrying out these actions or not? The corporal actions. We don't determine this for anyone in any place. No Jew or seemingly Gentile. There are people here who wear skull caps. There are those who don't wear skull caps. Some carry out these mitzvot, some don't. A quarter or not at all. We don't get into one's private actions at all. We're only teaching how a person can reach his equivalence with the Creator and his desires, as we have learned the mitzvot of the Torah, to correct the 613 desires. If in this correction of these 613 desires of one oneself from reaching to bestowal and love, that he shall desire to join this to his corporal actions, yes, maybe to eat kosher food, to carry out chuppah, kiddushin, keeping the Sabbath, all sorts of traditions in this world. I say traditions because you can do them, you can also not do them. You are not in this acting in your actions in spirituality. There are those who do carry them out, there are those who don't. If we speak about our state that we advance to, and everyone shall know me from the smallest to the greatest, because the whole world shall know me, because the whole world has to come to the general correction, and Israel only has to show the world this example. So the question, if Israel has to show the world such corporal examples, look how we have to kill animals to slaughter them, how we have to pray, how we have to eat, do we in this also need to teach the Gentiles, the nations of the world? We did not receive any commandment, and thus we also for ourselves and for the nations of the world, we are only teaching the internal corrections. Our desire, it must go through correction.
And all the rest, each and everyone, remains in his free form, free choice, in what they feel is easy and comfortable for them to do, if it properly connects to his internal correction. And Bala Sulam writes about it, a very interesting verse about this to people who don't understand about it and want to know that even in the end of correction, in the process, which is already as the end of correction, everybody can remain in his own religion. Religions, he looks at them as no more than tradition, habits, as culture, folk culture, and everybody can remain in his own religion, that those external actions, they are actions of culture. They are the external wrap for a home, family, and it doesn't interfere with man's internal correction. So much that he says that everybody can remain in his own religion as long as everybody should come to the love of others. Let's read an article. Let's move on to the next part of the lesson from the writings of the Rabash, Volume 3.